time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. We're joined by opinion columnist Justin Fox. He covers all things on the industrial side for us. Looking at interesting, Justin, when you look at the U.S. economy, it's all about the consumer. The consumer's real strong. The industrial economy, not so much, although we did have some numbers out of New York today suggesting maybe some stabilization in some of that New York manufacturing data. But kind of how I want to approach the manufacturing side of the U.S. economy is from the regulatory side, the tariffs, if you will. When President Trump came in to office, he vowed to protect U.S. industrial might, the manufacturing, the midsection, tariffs on steel, tariffs on aluminum. How has that played out for those industries and just kind of the U.S. industrial picture in general?
I mean, the tariffs on steel and aluminum were supposed to help the steel and aluminum industries and maybe as a side effect hurt consumers of their products. And so I was kind of surprised when I looked at the jobs numbers a few days ago, and it's like employment's up in all of the major industries that use steel and aluminum, but it's down in primary metals production. It started falling about like 9 months ago. And so I think that's not because of the tariffs, but it sort of goes to show there are other forces out there beyond the tariffs that are probably bigger than the tariffs. And for manufacturing in the U.S. in general, the story for this during this whole expansion since 2010 has been that it's a lot better than it was in the first decade of this millennium, which was awful for U.S. manufacturing. It's been this sort of decade of fitful recovery.
Well, let's talk about that fitful recovery and the sort of trajectory of it, because there is a feeling, and Daniel DiMartino Booth in particular coming out and saying she's expecting a real upswing in manufacturing in the United States, albeit tepid, albeit off of pretty low levels. But this comes as we don't see the same sort of exuberance at all. I mean, I don't want to call it exuberance, but the same sort of optimism over in Germany or other manufacturing centers. Why is it that we are seeing a sense of revival among certain sectors of the industrial complex?
Well, I mean, from Germany, first of all, is very dependent on exports for their manufacturing and on China in particular for like machinery and other things. In the U.S., less so. Also, Germany had a great 2000s. We had an awful 2000s. I mean, some of it's just correcting that. And also, yeah, the U.S. has a big domestic market that can buy a lot of these things. And I think about 10 years ago was when people like this Hal Serkin, then at Boston Consulting, said, hey, guys, U.S. manufacturing is actually competitive now. It's relatively cheap to make stuff here. And, you know, that's not the only factor at work. And a lot of sort of manufacturing capabilities were hollowed out in the 2000s. But there's this room for growth. And if you look at the numbers over the course of the recovery, you know, it's sort of this steady, tepid, I guess would be the word for it, growth. And then there was this dip in 2015, 2016 for a variety of reasons, strong dollar, oil price collapse, bit of a global slowdown. And then things came roaring back in 2018. And the question then was, is that just a bounce back, or have we discovered this amazing new manufacturing force? And I think the answer now is, oh, that was just a bounce back. But in general, the trend is upward.
The USMCA, the new NAFTA, if you will, is that expected to materially benefit U.S. manufacturing in general, do you think?
I just think it changes so little.
Right.
I mean, there are obviously specific things like a few dairy farms, and there are some labor provisions that might be significant, but it just doesn't change that much from NAFTA.
What has caused the U.S. to be competitive?
I mean, partly that manufacturing wages got hammered. I mean, the U.S. auto industry used to be great-paying jobs, and basically new jobs in the U.S. auto industry are not great-paying jobs. So that was part of it. Part of it was, you know, automation, figuring out ways to make things more efficiently. And I think part of it is just realizing that actually a lot of the savings that seem to be there in spreading your supply chain across the world and especially into China comes with risks, as we're seeing in spades right now.
Was the deglobalization wave that people talk about in force before the tariffs and before President
Yes.
Trump really made it a theme of his whole presidency?
Yeah, I think it was. I think that's been, you know, and again, it, you know, there was a lot of deglobalization with the last recession, and then things bounced back, but it's still nothing. All the trends look very different than they did in the 2000s.
Justin Fox, thank you so much. This is really tremendous. Justin Fox is a Bloomberg Opinion columnist joining us here in our Interactive Broker Studios. You can read all of his columns, Bloomberg.com/opinion, O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg. Really interesting take to take a longer term view, especially in light of the fact that the wages have gotten hammered.
I learned something new there from Justin about the competitiveness of the U.S. As it relates to labor. And the auto industry is a great example. I didn't think of it that way. Those new contracts that we've been hearing about over the last 10 or 20 years, it's all about, okay, we'll protect the existing people, but the new people coming in are going to have to come in at a lower wage.
This is a really important conversation to be having in the election season, because this really is what has driven a lot of the populist anger, right? It has been this idea that the U.S. exported a lot of its dynamism overseas as it did have these supply chains. And now that tide has been reversing. It would be interesting to see how much momentum there is back to the resurgence in U.S. manufacturing.